States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a really good opportunity for those of us on the council to interact with department heads, administration, and it's such a great city, but it's a very complicated city. And those of us up here have our hands full trying to keep track of everything that's going on. It's so dynamic. So it's a great opportunity for us to deal with each of you on a one-on-one basis. It's a great opportunity for you to hear what we have in mind, and it's a great opportunity for you to explain to us, you know, at your level about how your departments work, because again, it's extremely complex, and it's a challenge for us to keep up. So that's the construct at which I'm approaching this. So I'm looking forward to this. Carol Rhodes is the coordinator and the boss, the hammer. And so I'll turn this over to you for introductory comments.
Thank you, Mayor. Before we get started, I would like to review a few ground rules for today's proceedings. As you know, today's meeting is being broadcast live on the City Channel. Although, unlike council meetings, council will not be making decisions or voting on any of the agenda items. Today's meeting is a work session, therefore public comment is not included on the agenda. The agenda does provide for council discussion following each session, including two sessions that have been designated for open council discussion. Mayor McDavid will lead those discussions. The agenda provides for an a.m. break and lunch at noon. There's coffee and soda available in the kitchen at this time, and we'll have snacks at the a.m. break. Lunch has been coordinated. Groups have been formed that include one council member along with 4 to 5 staff members, and locations have been established. I will read the agenda items and make introductions before each session, and I will give presenters a visual warning. This is high tech here, by raising a yellow card, at which time you have 2 minutes to wrap up your comments. A red card will be raised to signal your time has run out. With that, I will start with session one, citizen survey results. Tony Messina, Public Communications Director, will kick off this morning's meeting by sharing with us the 2011 survey findings. Ms. Messina.
Well, Karen Falk is here. She's just arrived. She'll be with us in a minute. Before she gets here, I want to let you know that she's Vice President of ETC Institute, and she's with us today to review the draft final report of our recent citizen survey results. Our last survey was in 2007. Karen has been with ETC for 12 years, and before that, she was a product manager for a national labeling product that coordinated statistical information between the Food and Drug Administration and USDA, so I think she knows something about numbers. She now shares national responsibilities for Direction Finder surveys with ETC President Chris Tatham. ETC was the successful bidder for our survey because of its national reputation, experience with benchmarking local governments, and the value obtained for the price. ETC has experience helping local governments use their survey results to guide strategic planning and improve customer service. I think these are two big priorities for us locally. I'm glad that we're starting with the survey because you can continue to refer back to it over the next 2 days. And by the end of retreat, perhaps you'll have a clearer sense of how to use this information to guide city services and performance. Now, right now, I would be saying, Karen, Karen, come on up. Okay. Come on down. Let's make a deal. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Welcome to Columbia.
Thank
and
you.
Please take us through your findings. We're happy to have you here.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm really pleased to stand in for Chris and Mike. We know one another from a while back. Chris and I both do Direction Finder, but I know he's got a lot of history with you. So I'm going to be referring to some notes just to make sure I've covered what he would have me cover today. All right. This is, I think you've been doing your direction finder since, is it 03? This was your first one? That was your first one? And so we have a long history with doing your survey and now some good trend information. Okay, good. So this is the process we'll take you through. The agenda for the presentation today is we'll talk a little bit about the purpose and the methodology of doing the survey. We like to deliver the bottom line up front, so we give you an idea of what the overall picture is for your survey results. Then we'll talk about the major findings. Then we'll give you a summary and some conclusions, and we'll take time, as much time as you like, for questions. The purpose of the survey, and I don't know if you've gone through this before, but it's just a good thing to remind you of why this is done to help city services. It's first of all to objectively assess resident satisfaction with the delivery of city services. And the point is that this is resident satisfaction completely. It's that silent majority that aren't necessarily going to come here, but they are heard from in the survey, so this is a great way to get information back from everyone in your community. We measure trends from your previous survey, which is so helpful. It gives you an opportunity to see if what it is you've implemented has accomplished what you hoped it would. And then we gather input from residents to help you set budget priorities. There are lots of influences to how you set your budget considerations. This piece will help you know what your residents would do if it was up to them. And then to compare Columbia's performance with cities in the U.S. and other Kansas, in the Kansas-Missouri region. And then we also compare you with our direction finder cities. And I like to add one more, and that is that this is statistically valid random sampling. It is defendable data. So whatever other agency you might share this with, if they know it's statistically valid random sampling, that puts a defendable piece to it. Okay, the methodology or how this survey was done. We have asked most of the same questions over this time period, but every time the survey is developed, whatever might be new in this community is also addressed. So the 2005 through 2007 surveys are on here, and I know we go back a little earlier than that, but those are the three that we've compared. The method of administration was mail and phone. We sent out 1,800 random sample surveys, and the survey was seven pages long. It took after 7 days of mailing, we did some phone follow-up. That gives your residents a chance to do the survey by phone if they prefer that method. It took 15 to 20 minutes to complete the survey. Your completed samples are 834, and that's a confidence level of 95%. The margin of error is plus or minus 3.4%. I won't say anything more about statistics today unless you have a question about it, but that's really the foundation of everything we've done here. What that means on a practical level is that if we were to do the survey 100 times in your community, 95% of the time we're going to get results that fall within this margin of error. So I'm going to tell you about 834 households today. But this really is a picture of your entire community. Okay, we start with a few demographics, and this is just a way to say that it is critical that we come very close to matching the demographic picture of your community in our survey results. And we have good with age. Race, ethnicity is relatively close to your own picture. Annual household income is close. And just as an aside, household income and age of respondent has a lot to do with how they answer the survey. That's why it's so critical that we have the mix that's appropriate to your community. Respondent gender is good. And then I don't know if we've done geocoded maps for you in the past. Have we done those in the past? Good. Well, this is a scatter map, and this shows us where the survey responses actually came from. They were distributed over, and it will follow the density of the population, so you can kind of see the density of the dots there will come pretty close to your density of your population. So here's the bottom line up front. Columbia is setting the standard for customer service among U.S. cities. Your overall satisfaction with city services rated 24% above the Kansas-Missouri region, and it rated 23% above the national average. There are some, with regard to satisfaction ratings, there are some decreases. I will tell you that we are in many cities over the course of a year, and this is indeed a mirror of national trends. Overall community priorities, and there are two big ones, it's the maintenance of city streets and infrastructure, and protecting residents and businesses from crime. And then lastly, and this is one of the newer questions we ask, residents think it is important for the city to support sustainable programs. And we'll group these in terms of major findings. And first, the residents generally have a very positive perception of the city. And this is one of the graphs from your report. The overall quality of city services provided by the city is very high. Quality of life in the city is very good. Overall feeling of safety is good. Overall value of city tax dollars and fees is a little less. That's not particularly unusual. Direction the city is heading is a little lower, and how well the city's planning growth is at the bottom end. Overall satisfaction with city services, and these are the major category of services, parks and recreation is very high. Solid waste is right there. City utility service is good. Public safety services is about midway. Public health services. And at the bottom three are city stormwater runoff and stormwater management. And this is the time where we'll talk a little bit about what dissatisfaction numbers should be and what they really shouldn't be and what the neutrals mean. The dissatisfaction at any given question shouldn't be over 20%. That's one in five. So if it's 20%, one in five of your residents is dissatisfied with that particular thing. So those are the areas of opportunities for you to make some change. The last one on there, the condition of city streets, that's six out of 10 are dissatisfied with city streets in round numbers. So I have a community who's got 7 out of 10. But what it caused them to do was to really get active about changing their streets. They've done that now. We're about to survey again. Major findings number two, the overall satisfaction with city services is generally the same throughout the city. And this is one of the geocoded maps. I'm going to spend a little time just to talk to you about this map. It's just to tell you how the mapping is done, remind you how it's done. This is by census block, which means a census block is bigger than a neighborhood, but it's smaller than a zip code. And within any one census block, whatever the mean response to a question is determines what color it gets. So that area in the middle of the city, this question is the overall quality of services provided by the city. That is a dark blue, which is very satisfied. But the rest of the city is also satisfied, so you really have a pretty unified picture of satisfaction across the city. Occasionally, you'll see in the report that there is a percentage of dissatisfaction on a question that may be 5-7%. If it doesn't show up on the map, it's because it's diffused across your city map. It's still, remember, by census block, it's the mean response. There may be a few dissatisfieds in there, but they're not enough to affect the color that is chosen for the map. So while there are some differences with specific city services, and there are, and we'll get to those, overall satisfaction with city services is the same in most parts of the city. Major findings number three, most significant increases and decreases. We're looking at a plus or minus five here, which is above your margin of error, but satisfaction with snow removal on major city streets had a positive increase of 8%, agreement that city government is a trusted source of information, 8% plus. Agreement that city information is communicated clearly, accurately, and in a form that meets needs of residents, plus 7%. These are all very positive and in ways of communication, which is great. Satisfaction with the condition of city sidewalks is a plus 7. Satisfaction with drop-off recycling is a plus 6. And these are now compared to your trends from before. Significant decreases, and again, it's a plus or minus five that we're using. Satisfaction with customer service received from city employees is a minus 10. Satisfaction with the condition of city streets, a minus 8. Satisfaction with the overall quality of local police services is a minus 8. And you may remember on the overall that it was a fairly positive number, and we'll get into that in a little bit, as to, particularly with public safety services, how that can change. Satisfaction with the enforcement of city codes and ordinances for buildings is a minus 7. Satisfaction with city stormwater runoff, stormwater system, minus 7. Satisfaction with the overall quality of life in the city is a minus 6. Satisfaction with the maintenance of major city streets is a minus 6. And then the overall satisfaction levels in the city of Columbia. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a question here?
Sure.
Quick? Back on that, you've got satisfaction with, let me back up.
Went back up.
You got the city streets twice.
Okay. So removal.
Satisfaction with the condition of city streets at minus 8%. And the last one is maintenance minus 6. How do those differ?
Satisfaction with city streets is going to be in general how the general satisfaction of the public, and then condition of city streets is any maintenance issues that, you know, if they are experiencing potholes or they're experiencing broken curbs or something to that effect.
I'll have a question at the end of this, but it has to do with the fact that one of the early slides stated that customer service was 23% and 24% above average, and we're down 8%.
It's not customer service, it's customer services in general. Customer service is your employees. Customer service from the employees is...
So just define the difference between customer satisfaction and customer service.
Yes. Uh-huh. And we'll actually get to that piece here so you can see what that is. And we do have time, so please feel free to interrupt. I'm very happy to take a question. If I don't see you, just let me know. Overall satisfaction levels in the city of Columbia are higher than the national Kansas-Missouri averages, and now we're entering the benchmark piece so that you can see how you compare to the nation, to the region, and also to the direction finder families that we compare you to. So we're looking first at the perceptions issue and how you compare, and this is the piece that you were asking me about, overall quality of city services. That's different from city employee responses. City services is up 24% in the region, and it's up 23% from the U.S. So this is you compared to the world you're surrounded by, and you're doing remarkably well in that area. Overall quality of life in the city hasn't changed a great deal. Value received for city tax dollars and fees is way higher, and that's also an unusual category to excel in. Again, you should feel very positive about that, that your citizens feel they're getting good return for their money. Direction the city is headed, this addresses growth too, the following one as well. It's down from those, from the benchmarks that we've compared you to.
On that, did you have specific sub-questions so we know specifics of where the city is going that they don't like?
I mean, we didn't. I don't believe we did on this survey, but we can, if, in the future, if you would like, ask that question. What is it that affects, if you responded no, what is it that affects
it
that response?
Could be just the general economic downturn that has affected the city, right?
Well, and that affects many things, like unfinished subdivisions, stores that were promised and shopping centers that aren't put in yet because of the economy. So it is, yes, it does indeed go back to the economy, but it will affect many areas. It can affect flow of traffic. It's be affected by flow of traffic. Things that your residents see as issues that could be resolved in some way will affect that question. It will be influenced by broad issues.
So is that a specific question that was asked on the survey? Do you like the direction the city is headed? Or
we asked about the satisfaction with the direction the city is headed.
Okay.
So it was a
one question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So perceptions that residents have of the city they live in, the overall quality of life, and this is your direction finder comparison. So these are cities in the Kansas and Missouri area that are direction finder clients, and there are probably 60 or so. Overall quality of life in the city, you rank at 78. This is just a reminder of how you should read this chart. 29% is a community, one community in this group, one community rated 29% in overall satisfaction with the quality of life in the city. Another community rated 97. That's the other end of the range. Most of the communities rate in this, that vertical bar is the mean, so that's where the, most of the cities congregate. And we'd like to see you at or above the mean, and you are in both cases here. Overall value received for your city tax dollars and fees, you know you rated high in the region and in the U.S., and here in the Direction Finder cities we compared you to, you also rate high. Overall satisfaction with various city services, parks and recreation, and this is that first chart I showed you, but this is benchmarking you now against the U.S. and the region. Parks and recreation programs and facilities, 88% over, well over the other two. Solid waste services, well up over the others. City utility services up. Public safety services is about the same as it's been. Customer service is way up. Even though your employee satisfaction number is a little down, customer service is up, comparatively. City communication with the public is good. That's a good one to excel in, and we'll talk more about communications in a little bit. Stormwater runoff management and stormwater management is down. It's lower than the other two. Availability of public transportation is well up. Enforcement of city codes and ordinances is down. Any questions about that slide?
When you... Are you going to come back to specifics, for example, comments that people made as to what they're dissatisfied about with stormwater?
Did we ask in the comments about that? Okay, but as I
have information as to what specifically they're dissatisfied with some of these things.
As I recall, there weren't a great many questions. Usually at the end of a survey, and I think we must have done it here, we'll ask for any questions, anything that they also want to add. So we did not specifically ask about any one service, to my knowledge. And if at some point we need to do that, we certainly can. But unless it was a general major concern, it probably is not. It may or may not be addressed in the general comments.
For example, do they want less stormwater management or more?
You know, generally what that's going to mean is something is wrong with the system that they have. It's unlikely that they're going to comment on needing more. I'm sorry, they will comment on needing more, but it has to do with a problem that they currently see. Overall satisfaction with various city services, and again, this is the Direction Finder family. It's public safety, you're right at the mean. Public safety is an issue that generally ranks well above 60 or 70 in satisfaction, but it will always be, no matter what you do, it will always be one of the most important issues for your community. So here it rates at the mean, which is to say you haven't lost any ground in the last few years. It stayed about the same. Parks and recreation programs and facilities is well up above the mean. Overall quality of customer service is up. Effectiveness of communication with the public above the mean. Enforcement of city codes and ordinances is below. And city stormwater runoff, stormwater management is slightly above the mean. How safe residents feel in their community, in your neighborhood during the day, it's about the same with and in your neighborhood at night as the benchmark cities. Satisfaction with public safety services, local fire protection is about the same as it is around the country. Fire department response time to emergencies, about the same. Local police protection is down, 69% here, 75% in the region, and 73% across the U.S. You may want to compare your crime statistics with some of the other cities that you would compare yourself to. The other piece I'll tell you is that this is... This is a category that can be assisted by communication. High Point, North Carolina is a continuing client of mine, and we went through this discussion with them last time. A new police chief, things were going really well in the city, and they have a lot of unmarked cars. Do you have unmarked cars in Columbia? Does your police department? How many? Okay. High Point is maybe in the same circumstance, but people didn't know there were unmarked cars there, and certainly you don't want them to know where they are, but you might want to let them know how many you have so that people understand that it's not just a marked car. Communications can be very helpful in just providing them with statistics of what's going on in public safety. Anything that you can say with regard to that addresses what will be a continuing concern, it is in every community, is how safe people feel in your community.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You showed a slide, previous slide that showed public safety down 24%.
Where is that?
It was back a ways.
It might have been in the very beginning. Is it all right with you?
It was in the beginning. Those numbers on this chart, the one you just went past, don't indicate 24%.
Okay. I'm going to flip back right quick. Let's see what slide we're on. Because there are several ways we're comparing you. One, are you remembering this slide is quality of city services? That's the 24% piece.
I thought it was public safety.
And that would be on our first slide. Let me look here. Public safety services.
Slide 18. That's minus 8%. Slide 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, there we go. 24% is only relating to your public services in general, and they're up.
But back on the slide, we were just on the, when I asked the question.
Sure.
Do those numbers warrant an 8% decrease?
They can. So we're looking at different ways of comparison. This is a benchmark chart compared to your trends chart, which is going to be different. So mm-hmm. your trends chart is a comparison of where you were before. So what this says is you're right on the mean in terms of our direction finder cities. That's right in the middle of where everybody else is. But each community has its own notion of what's okay. So that's where your trends come in and your residents will tell you is the level of service okay with you?
I have a question. How does that compare with the previous survey?
Chris's presentation is a little bit different than mine, but you have the book, and I've brought along just the pieces of that. So let me see if I can find it right quick. All right, public safety services is 81 this year. It was 84% in 07 and 87% in 05. So it's dropped a bit. And I might add that those are not significant drops. Those are just drops. So significant is when we get beyond your margin of error, which rounded is 0.4, it's 3.4 or something. All right. I think we've gone past this one then. All right, overall satisfaction with streets and sidewalks. And here, and I should mention up front that the red arrows are not what we'd like to see. The blue arrows are better, but the red arrows tell you that, you know, this is where your community is right now. Certainly, absolutely, the economy affects all numbers. As I mentioned in the very beginning, it's a national circumstance. We see it everywhere. But it doesn't mean that you won't want to do what you can for these numbers. Condition of streets, signs, and traffic signals, 63%, compared to 77 in the U.S. and the region. Adequacy of city street lighting should also have a red arrow. Snow removal on city streets. The one that held its own was the condition of sidewalks. And it's about the
same. Let me interrupt a second. What was the timing of this survey? When did we do this survey?
April, May.
Obviously, we had a record snowfall.
Yes.
And so we are comparing Public Works response after a 3 times increase in snow against other communities before that snow.
That's true for the U.S. It may not be true for the Kansas-Missouri region. Because at least in Kansas City, we had the same kind of snowfall you did.
Right, but were all these done in April and May?
Yes.
Okay, so these are all contemporaneous.
I'm sorry, they were not. The U.S. numbers were done in 2010, and the region numbers were also done in 2010.
It's useful, it's just that there is a selection bias here where it may not be fair to ask about satisfaction in snow removal after 55 inches of snow in comparison to other cities who got 10 inches of snow last year.
And just, some of which got, don't have snow, so this
right.
question is pretty irrelevant to them. But
right.
it's a U.S. average, so that's 4,000 surveys that we do in the U.S. survey, which is a good representation across the country. But you're right, with regard to snowfall, that can vary considerably across the country.
On slide 17, it says most significant increases, and the first one is satisfaction with snow removal at an increase of 8%.
Uh-huh.
And here you're showing it's significantly reduced.
Well, remember, this is a benchmark, and that's a trend. So compared to where you were last year, it's increased. Compared to the rest of the country, it's lower. So we have several different ways of looking at your data. Just be mindful of that. When you're comparing yourself to what you did last year, it's up. When you're comparing yourself to the rest of the country, it's less than what the rest of the country has experienced. So in the case of snow removal, as we've just discussed, it's going to be pretty unique to you. I would feel better about the fact that you've improved over where you were last year, in spite of the fact that it was a tough year. Another thing about your maps, and that also can be a source of comparison for you while we're talking about comparisons. The map that, and particularly if you are a department head and you're looking specifically at the maps in your department, compare them with what they look like this year. Regardless of what the numbers say, the shift in where the population is most satisfied could change how you approach a change as well. So do compare those to last year, to the last 2 years. Satisfaction with streets and sidewalks in the direction finder cities, and here the direction finder cities are, you know, in this case, you're below the mean here. So 59% was your satisfaction number. Cleanliness of appearance of city streets, below the mean. Maintenance of major city streets. Condition of sidewalks. Condition of street signs and traffic signals is below. Condition of sidewalks is right on the mean. Satisfaction with code enforcement and neighborhood services. The one that's down is the cleanup of litter and debris on private property. Everything else is about the same. Code enforcement, you're on the mean in most areas. Cleanup of debris in private property with direction finder cities is a little lower. Overall satisfaction with customer service is really high in most areas. Employees are courteous and polite. Employees did what they said they'd do in a timely manner. Overall satisfaction is high. Employees gave prompt and accurate and complete answers. The one piece that's down, and again, remember this is the benchmark, is it was easy to reach the city employee that was needed.
Could we go back a slide? When you talk about code enforcement, I see the these are things that are basically residential. So you, I guess, didn't survey code enforcement in the sense of permits and inspections for construction and remodeling.
And that's not something residents would be able to answer. That's really a business survey,
so
and
that,
you may want to consider that.
So when we're talking code enforcement, we're talking sort of the nuts
yes.
and bolts neighborhood issues,
right.
not the way, I guess, the people are treated when they take out a permit to do something.
You are more likely to get to that information if you send out a business survey. Of the majority of residents, there will be a small percentage that have asked for a permit to do something in the last 2 years.
You just ignore it for this because you're not going to get a sample, I guess. Okay.
We won't in the community survey.
Uh-huh.
If you choose to do it in a business survey, those are a little more limited, but you might find some answers there.
Great, thanks.
And the other thing is, you know, you can always survey within a department. You can always have a follow-up survey, and you can do this yourself just by asking about quality of service received. All right, and compared to your direction finder cities, usefulness of information on the cities. Whoops, did I miss one? I did. No. This is communications, really. Usefulness of information on the city's website is above the rest of the your comparison cities. Usefulness of programming on city's cable television channel, and this is interesting because many cities don't have one, is a little lower. Overall satisfaction with utility services. Trash collection is high comparatively. Water service is high comparatively. Then priorities for investment. This is really about that IS piece, the information satisfaction piece, and I like to refer to it as probably the most boring slide in your presentation, but is one of the most important. It lets you know what the priority of your residents are. It's performed to assess the potential impact that investments in various city services will have on the overall satisfaction with city services over the next 2 years. We're going to take a look at the first one. I'm going to walk you through this one. You'll remember the first question we asked was overall satisfaction with city services. So we first asked people about these issues, how satisfied they are with these issues. The second piece is how important are these issues to you? It's logical to assume that if people are dissatisfied with something, that they will find it important. That isn't always the case, and that's the point of doing this assessment, to take both satisfaction and importance into consideration. We actually have one, since I brought that up, that is that case here. Under the high priority public safety services, most important, it ranked at 80%, which was the number one concern. But satisfaction was 81%, so it was only the fourth down on satisfaction. So that illustrates what I mentioned to you before, is that public safety services will always be one of the high topics in any community. It always is. But the IS chart allows you to look at how it relates to the other overall services that you have to make decisions about. So now we've marked the three high categories here. Condition of city streets is the number one. Public safety services is the number two. And this falls under medium priority, but it still had a fairly high rating with city utility services. This is the case where there are many, many issues that influence how you currently prioritize what's on this list. This will tell you how your residents would do it. So we sometimes refer to this as low-hanging fruit. If you could do it the way your citizens would like to see it done, this is it. This is the order 1, 2, 3, down through 10. So we're going to look at those top three in one other way. That's in the important satisfaction assessment matrix, and that puts these numbers on a matrix. If you look at the top half of this graph, that is the most satisfied, and at the bottom half is the less satisfied. To the right is the most important, to the left is the lesser important. That means that what ends up in this lower right quadrant are the issues that are high in importance and lower in satisfaction. So those are the, and you, if you see the arrows, follow the arrows from the chart before, they're pretty consistent with where they were in the importance on the other piece. Then we look at public safety specifically. Police efforts to prevent crime is the number one issue that surfaces here. How quickly police respond to emergencies is the number two issue. And if we look at the matrix, they are there in the lower right quadrant.
I had a question. If you could go back to 36, or slide 36, important satisfaction rating. You know, you've got the top three in terms of the IS. But I'm looking at, okay, city stormwater runoff management has a low satisfaction, 48, and then city codes, 40%. So those are the two lowest satisfactions.
Right.
So another way to look at that is not necessarily not abandoning or not focusing on those issues, but in terms of resources.
Right.
I mean, there's some things we could probably improve that are lower on the list, but still very important to the public.
And that's exactly right. At the end of all of this information, and particularly at this period of time when many services are down, it's a matter of prioritizing what you can accomplish and which are the ones that will, that really surface to the top. There are other issues on here. Nobody can do them all at one time, so it's a very good point. You do have to choose at the end of all of this what's going to be most important to do now.
I'm going to jump on the bandwagon here. It just dawned on me looking at this page, and I guess it's slide 32 where you have the quadrants. Something missing here is a vital service of government, which is services for the poor, and I don't see the library in here. And I don't know if you are going to get to that or if there was a reason why those things were excluded, but there are many people who are not poor who are very concerned about services for the poor, and I just don't see it in here. I don't know if it's coming or if there's a reason for excluding it from the survey.
In my experience, and you'll have to help me out with this one survey, but in my experience, there's only been one community that's asked it, and that's St. Joseph, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you honestly that I didn't think they would get the kind of information they wanted. I wasn't encouraging them to do that, but they really insisted that they wanted to measure level of poverty in their community. And the reason that we were a little hesitant to encourage them to do it is because it's not different from the rest of the metro area. It's about the same.
I see.
However, in that community, about the same was not acceptable. And we did ask the question. We got some very surprising answers. So I doubt that we did it this time. If you want to do it next time, please encourage.
Maybe you and I can talk offline afterwards about sort of why this is done this way and what works.
Well, asking about poverty is rarely asked. In the case of St. Joseph, it was very important to the community, and maybe it's very important here too. It's just that nobody likes poverty, so you can't really ask about satisfaction-related issues, but there are other kinds of questions that you can ask that maybe address the level of importance in your community.
Do we feel, you know, I'm thinking of questions like, do we feel that we as a community are doing enough to help the poor and people in need?
And
I don't know. Maybe we can talk about that for the next survey.
And I'd be happy to send to you the three questions that we asked in St. Joe that were helpful to them. We certainly can't share that information. So.
And I'm a former statistician, so you can explain to me why the questions worked or didn't work.
Well,
but not
you mean,
now. Not now. I don't think okay. I don't think our audience is really interested in the statistics necessarily.
Okay. Well, I'd be glad to talk to you later.
Great. Thanks.
All right, so the overall questions here and the public safety services, I think we just went through. Streets and sidewalks. Maintenance of major city streets is a very big issue here, snow removal. It is, when you talk about satisfaction and importance together, it is the number two issue here. Snow removal on major city streets, as neighborhood streets was first, major city streets is under that one. We look at the matrix there, right there on the right side. Enforcement of and neighborhood services, cleanup of litter and debris on private property is the first. Maintenance of residential property is the second. Maintenance of business property, the third. So this is all, when you see the ones that are at the very top, they're really all about appearances in these areas. And they fall here in the right side of the matrix. Public health, guarding against exposure to environmental risks, and this ends up on the number one spot, and this one has sort of side questions to it. That's related really to the condition, the overall condition of health. It's related to the overall condition of health, and I think what your residents are saying is, how is the city involved in this? And this is your one piece to particularly let it be known if you're doing things now, let it be known in your communications that you are doing that. And if you're not, just know that it is of importance to your community. Preventing the spread of infectious diseases, guarding against any food poisoning, and those are pretty consistent, but the exposure to environmental risks is one that we see more and more where we ask it. We're Mid-America Regional Council has the Kansas City, Missouri region. We do a pretty extensive look at that for them every few years, and it always remains high. Then transportation, the availability of public transportation is number one, but I saw and I'm pleased to see in the university community that your transportation really rates pretty well with your community, but it remains very important. So. It's one of those things that the more you can do to address it, the better. Overall community priorities, importance of sustainability programs. These are the other findings, the pieces that came toward the end of the survey. This is, what priority residents feel should be placed on the following major community priorities, and this is their chance to rank. Is it very high, high, neutral, or low? Maintaining city streets and infrastructure is the number one in the very high to high importance. Protecting residential and business from crime is the number two, and that's really consistent with what we've seen earlier in the survey. Promoting economic development and job creation is high. Job creation is high in every area that we address. Economic development is sometimes high. Managing stormwater runoff is high. Minimizing congestion of city streets is high. And we can go on down. One of the lowest, and in university communities, was a surprise to me, was adding bicycle lanes and paths. But again, we are addressing the overall community with the survey as it's distributed.
Well, just as a note, we've been on a 5-year intensive bike and path creation program,
perfect.
So probably people think we've been doing a lot in that
absolutely.
Area.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's affected that. Whether respondents think it's important for the City of Columbia to support sustainability programs that help reduce pollution, conserve energy, and protect water resources, and this is that question that 87% said yes. So that is consistent with the kind of responses we see around the country, but it does relate to health issues in many other ways. And then summary and conclusions. Columbia, again, is setting the standard for customer service among U.S. cities. Your overall customer services are 24% above the Kansas average, 23% above the national. You do have some decreases. Again, it does mirror the national trends. Overall community priorities, and these are the top two throughout, is the maintenance of city streets and infrastructure, protecting of residents and businesses from crime. And residents do think that supporting sustainability programs is important. All right, so just to review the highest and lowest rated services, the highest were feeling of safety walking in neighborhoods during the day. This comes from your IS charts. Feeling of safety in downtown Columbia is high. Residential trash collections high. Quality of city fire protection. How quickly the fire department responds to emergencies. Curbside recycling. City electric service, quality of city parks and recreation programs and services, feeling of safety in city parks during the day, city water services, solid waste services, and the lowest rated were maintenance of streets in your neighborhood, how well the city is planning growth, maintenance of major city streets, snow removal in neighborhood streets, feeling of safety in the city parks at night, and condition of city streets. Your overall priorities are the condition of city streets, number one, public safety services, number two, city utility services, number three. Public safety priorities are police efforts to prevent crime, how quickly police respond to emergencies. Your streets and sidewalk priorities are maintenance of city streets, snow removal on neighborhood and major city streets. Code enforcement priorities are cleanup of litter and debris, maintenance of residential property, maintenance of business property. Public health priorities are guarding against exposure to environmental risks, preventing the spread of infectious disease, and guarding against food poisoning. Transportation is public transportation. All right, any general questions about the survey or anything that you saw here that you'd like us to revisit?
One thing I would say on those quadrant graphs mm-hmm. that would be really cool is you can put the points where you have the points where we are now in those quadrants. Right. It would be interesting to chain together the last couple of surveys to see, you could see like the arcs, it would be like a planetarium, how we're moving in each quadrant. That would be interesting.
I have two or three comments. First of all, this is presented in a very nice fashion. I appreciate this work. A couple of other questions that might be a little arcane, but I'm just wanting to know how you rule out selection bias. And by that I mean it would seem intuitive that cities who really care about customer service are the ones that are going to get the surveys done. So how many cities do you sample in Missouri and Kansas, for example?
The Missouri—actually, that's part of the national survey. So we survey 4,000, at least 4,000, so a little over, households across the country, and then we're able to divide no fewer than 400 households into any one region. Kansas-Missouri region has around 400 households to give us a benchmark for that region. That's different than the direction finder benchmarks. As I said, we have probably 60 families in the Kansas-Missouri, 60 communities in the Kansas-Missouri region who do our direction finder.
Second question with respect to selection biases, you got 850 out of 1,800. That's pretty good. Is that pretty consistent with what you're getting around the country?
That's actually a remarkable return. That's really a good return.
You know, speculating, it would seem to me that those who are content and complacent throw away the envelope.
Not necessarily. This is the piece that let me talk about how the sample is selected. First of all,
the point I'm making though is that if that speculation is accurate, we are comparing ourselves against a higher level of respondents. I mean, in other words, if we're comparing ourselves to cities who actually are surveying for customer satisfaction because they care, to be at the top of that list is good. If we're comparing ourselves against a list of cities where the people who have an axe to grind are unhappy, then that's really what we want to see. You'd like to see 100% response, but you're not going to see that. So there has to be some inherent selection bias there, which is okay. If anything, it's going to select us against it's going to select us into a group of higher performing, higher achieving cities.
And you know, that's probably, I'm just thinking of the cities that I help with Direction Finder, and there are some whose numbers are low and they survey because they want to know what that is. It's very hard to do anything about something if you don't know what the unit of measure is. There are communities that I serve, and there are few right now that have very high numbers. I don't think that, you know, there may be a minor bias in the piece of how the benchmarks fall, but it's the only benchmarking system I think is available to you. And it's, remember that your statistical information has a margin of error, and even if we contacted every household in Columbia, not all will respond. So we are always going to have a margin of error, no matter, it may be slightly narrower if we were able to contact everybody, but the idea behind the approach here is that for something that is relatively affordable, we'll get a margin of error, but if you understand that with your numbers, then you can still make very solid decisions with that.
How much time are we going to have for comment? Because we're kind of in a question time right now.
Presentation is over, so you will have until 10.
Okay.
Plenty of time.
Okay.
Could do a follow-up question to the mayors. I would assume that the larger cities are the ones our size above are the ones that actually pay to have the surveys done rather than the smaller communities.
My smallest customer is 3,000 population, 1,800 households, and they do it every other year. It depends really entirely on the community. We've got, I think that community is maybe our smallest, and we're finishing San Francisco's survey right now, which is up over 500,000.
But probably the percentages are the larger communities. I mean, a greater percentage or not?
If you're talking benchmark cities and the regional and national benchmarks, 4,000 surveys across the country doesn't necessarily fall in the density of New York or San Francisco or larger cities. It's really all over the country. So the benchmark piece really comes from all sizes of cities and their response to the same questions that your residents were asked.
I'm going to ask a question about cost and frequency of surveys. And the context I'm asking this is that there are institutions in the private sector who do these surveys monthly.
You can't pick that up.
And obviously, cities don't, apparently. What is the cost that we incur from this survey? Do you know what it is offhand?
I don't know the...
$25,000 approximately.
Okay, for a survey, per, okay.
You know, it has been 4 years in the...
Right.
And I really do believe in surveys. They do have limitations, and so I'll always warn caution when we try to draw conclusions. But in general, my view of them is they do sort of identify areas we should explore. And for $25,000, I think that's the reason cities are slow about it, but I think a two-year cycle is probably the optimal four-year cycle.
I would probably even argue for a faster cycle, and I have a bias here, because my private sector experience is with an organization that does it monthly and looks for changes in customer satisfaction on a monthly basis, number one, so that it can act more quickly. And I understand that cities, by their wide range of services, are far more complicated than a healthcare industry. But there is a model out there, having said that, for organizations that do monitor this contemporaneously and dynamically. And in fact, some of these will use it as a substantial part of pay-for-performance, and will tie bonuses strictly to key result areas, some of which is this. And if you go back, one last comment about that, if you go back to, I got to figure out which slide it is right now. I think it's 22.
Tell me what the issue was. And
it's the slide that has the dissatisfied at 57% for streets at the bottom. It has the very satisfied, satisfied, and dissatisfied. It's one of the earlier slides, and I've got it.
Slide 13?
Slide 13 is the slide.
Is that it? I can't see the numbers on my screen here, so it's...
This is, again, different organizations, less complicated organizations, but many of these organizations only look at what they call top box satisfaction. In other words, it's the very very satisfied number they follow. I think this is probably one of the most, for me, it's one of the most telling slides in the presentation. It really says a lot. I think for many of us, it probably confirms what our impressions were. It validates what we thought. And I particularly like the slide that the IS slide, importance and dissatisfaction slide. And I tell, in my opinion, to other council members, and I'll give you an example. We had a proposal to add about $5 million in revenue for stormwater. We also are going to have a presentation which says that our capital needs for streets and sidewalks are $12 million a year under what they should be. And so as the city contemplates other revenue sources, we need to make sure that we are addressing those points of citizen contention most notably. And I think this really is going to be a very useful tool in helping us look at that.
It's one tool. You have many that you have to use to manage a city, but it is your resident response. It's one of the, just, I think it's one of the most important pieces to look at.
A couple of things that are a little cross currents here. One of the slides shows that our customer satisfaction, citizen satisfaction, is down 8%, yet it's higher than our benchmarks.
Right. Well, and again, that's your
trend. Are the benchmarks down too?
The benchmarks may be down during this period of time. They probably are down some. There is a I call it a malaise. There's sort of a national malaise based on the economy, because of the economy that's, you know, just not a, that affects almost anything that we ask. But so the benchmarks will be down in part. And the benchmarks that we use for Direction Finder are very current. The other ones are within the last 2 years. So they would have happened during the time of the lesser economy, too. One comment that I want to make, we do have a few cities who do base performance of departments and raises in the same arena. It's not real common so far, but it has been done. In terms of frequency of delivery, if you have things changing in your community, it's time to consider doing it more than every other year. If there are not major changes like big growths in population or businesses coming in or something that would alter how residents might feel, then every other year is a very good idea to do. I know Des Moines does it that way, I believe.
I've got a question about, you said there are 4,000 national surveys.
Right.
And no more than 400 can be used for a region.
Well, the region is divided based on where the region is. We just make sure that it's at least 400 or above. That will automatically give us a margin of error plus or minus 5. That's the region.
Okay, so if you've got 10% of your total surveys can be used for a two-state region, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this. You've got 48 more states to share. Does that make sense? How is that inaccurate?
Statistically, it has to be at least 400 within any one region, or we don't divide it out. We'll combine that region with another region before we'll statistically threaten the validity of the data.
But the 4,000 is 4,000 individual
households.
People. Households.
Right.
It's not 4,000 towns.
I'm sorry, it's not
4,000. It's not 4,000 towns.
No,
it's 4,000 people.
4,000 households. Uh-huh. Right.
So it's really comparing the whole country, Columbia.
And it's your, you know, as we just discussed, as with snow removal, you will have insight into what might be different for your city than would be the same for the rest of the country. But this is the only way you really can measure that, is to look at how they have also answered the question.
Let me just point out one thing that I find interesting in these. On this slide, if you look at the second from the bottom row, enforcement of city codes and ordinances, the biggest block, 44%, are neutral. And it's not that they don't have an opinion. Those are excluded, is the top. So what these folks are saying is, you know.
It's okay.
It's okay. I don't,
or maybe they're not impacting.
Yeah. I'm not upset. I'm not ecstatic.
Right.
So generally speaking, that's a great target audience for communication. So if we were to tell our story about city codes and ordinance, maybe do something on the cable channel of a walk-along. Here's what we do. Here's the service. Come see it from the inside. You would expect that to get quite a bit smaller in the next survey, or at least you'd want to see a statistically significant change, right? And hopefully you move folks into the blue box rather than the red box.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
So those are an interesting takeaway from the survey as well for staff and a target for another service that can impact that satisfaction. Obviously, when the line below that, the 57% dissatisfied streets, that's
speaks loudly.
Speaks very loudly, doesn't it?
What was the 2007 condition of city streets numbers? Do we have those?
I do. It was 28%. This year you're at 20, and in 05 it was 35%.
Is that satisfied?
Satisfaction.
What's the dissatisfied numbers in those years?
You know, that I don't have. I only have your satisfaction numbers in comparison.
The reason I asked the question, and I have a question, I guess, of John Glasscock. Does use of salt add to the deterioration of city streets dramatically?
That's one of the push-pulls we wrestle with. Cinders damage the streets less, but they look a lot worse. You know, it's dirtier. So some folks are satisfied that we're not putting cinders on the ground, but we pay for it.
And then it's doing a combination of those, and some communities use sand, too. So we've been working with that.
Well, what is the effectiveness of the two?
Well, sand is really tough, because then you got to try to get it off the street before it goes into the storm sewers in the spring, right? So there's a real gamble there. John can probably talk at length about the pros and cons. I think cinders are somewhat similar, but they tend to blow away before they... Yeah, they have the benefit of, we have a supply, right? So cinder's much cheaper than salt, a lot dirtier in terms of, you know, black, and they get on stuff, and cleanup's probably less than sand, I would say, yeah.
No, the statement that salt is bad for streets is, I think, pretty well accepted. But, you know, for people like us, we can't quantify that. I mean, how bad for the streets are they? How much citizen dissatisfaction is that decision creating? We don't just want it to be city administration saying, see, we could save you money, but you won't let us, and look what you're paying for it. I mean, right. So again, I don't know that there is an objective way to measure that, but we made a decision to go to salt. What is the cost of that decision? And I don't know. Do you have a way of quantifying that? But we just made that decision recently. So it would be a mistake then to blame the dissatisfaction with streets on the decision to use salt, because, as you say, it hasn't had an impact yet.
John, help me to remember. I believe the science is that the freeze-thaw, the amount of snow, is far worse than the effect of salt on streets. So the real impact this year, you know, I'm going to guess 80% of the damage you see is from winter. And then salt another component, but so it's not, I don't want to stress that it's not the primary cause of the...
No. Yeah. So it would be a mistake to say that our decision to stop cinders is why people are dissatisfied with streets. That is not a conclusion we should in any way draw.
That's right. And I think there's a question on that. So in here, there's snow removal on residential streets, and I think you can see the impact there. You know, an interesting thing would be to track that over time and present.
Do you think there could be a bleed over of dissatisfaction with the snow removal onto condition of streets? I mean, it brings a focus to streets. And again, it's, you know, we can't really compare satisfaction, dissatisfaction on snow removal. I'm not satisfied with it this year either, but we had 55 inches of snow, didn't we? Something like that? And the average is 14. So this was an aberration. It'd be nice to say that you could protect us from that next year, and I'm sure you could if we gave you enough money. I think we do need to, it's going to be speculation, but you have to speculate that there was a lot of focus on streets because of this historic snowfall this year.
Absolutely. And I'll stress, too, the timing of the survey, what you mentioned earlier. We're asking folks how they feel about it right after the snow is gone and all the potholes are visible and we're driving on it. We haven't had a chance to fix them all yet. You have to wait a certain amount of time to get the right product. So some of this, and I wouldn't say this would change and not be here, the dissatisfaction, at all, but I think the numbers would be better, quite honestly, if you did it in the fall, for example. But because we've been doing it in the spring, I think we probably should keep doing that so we have valid comparisons of our progress from the past. That's the story nationwide. There's about a month where we human beings basically need to live with it, you know, until we can get the physical product to fix it.
Isn't another part of the dissatisfaction on residential streets that we have a lot of cul-de-sacs and we can't plow those cul-de-sacs?
And we can't plow, but they take a lot.
Do they get moved to last, the cul-de-sacs?
No.
What I would say, I think we really do need to look at our policy. Yeah. I agree that we had an incredible year of snow, but I was doing a lot of door-to-door during that snowfall, and I think it's our policy that needs to be reviewed with John. I think we need to take a look at that policy and look at the cul-de-sac issue and a lot of different things. I think we really need to do that and look at it thoroughly. I understand the funding issue, and that's a little different than what our policy is.
And regarding to the funding issue, the other thing I'd like to look at is whether in those extraordinary times, whether we can have an emergency fund for recruiting the private sector, employing the private sector to assist, so not necessarily adding lots of trucks for the highest snow, but having a supplement. That's
And those would be more accessible to cul-de-sacs.
Right.
The pickup trucks with snow plows could get into the, I mean, theoretically, it may, you know. So it's worth taking a look
at. Let's just not forget that the issue of cul-de-sacs hasn't really been a big complaint until you have 25 inches of snow in one pile. I live at the end of a cul-de-sac, and I've never had an issue with snow removal until you physically couldn't get to the end of it and get back up the hill. So, I mean, we revamped our policy 2 years ago, I think, priority routes and that. Three, okay. But, I mean, I think up to that point, I think we were generally doing a pretty good job there. I mean, like, it's just hard to overcome physically the amount of snow.
If you had 3-4 inch snows in a season, I suspect these numbers would be, you know, totally different. And so I think we have to approach that with care in how we evaluate that.
And John, didn't you point out earlier this spring that you are down a number of trucks due to the decrease in the maintenance budget? Yeah. Oh, I see. So it's sort of during the emergency that you're down.
Particularly when you get 20 inches of snow to get rid of.
The other thing I'd like to say on the condition of city streets, the dissatisfaction, I'd be careful to attribute too much of that to effects of the recent snow, because when we look at our infrastructure report, you know, the underfunding on the streets is incredible, and that is resulting, I think, in a lot of this dissatisfaction, because where on this survey are they going to express it other than on this particular?
I think that's a good point. One of the things, though, in terms of metrics that I'd kind of like to have is, with this high degree of dissatisfaction, how much are we spending on streets? In other words, we're spending $11,000 a mile for maintenance. Is that a lot? Is that not a lot? I mean, there's this basket of cities that I'd like to see as compared to, you know, the Ann Arbors, the Champaigns, Iowa cities. The cities, the college cities like us in reasonably our climate, Is that a lot or not? I mean, if the mean for these other cities in our class is $16,000 a mile for maintenance, then, you know, I think that that is a strong message. If, on the other hand, the mean is $8,000 and we're still getting dissatisfaction, we've got to figure out why that's the case, because in that case, we're dedicating substantial resources. So for me, as I look at this, I'm not capable of saying what our how much resource we're allocating to this problem. I think we need to know that so that we know which direction to go. How are we doing in compared to other cities? I mean, obviously, you can't get that on a survey like we had presented today, but I think it's a question that we really ought to know. How many dollars per mile are other cities spending on maintenance?
A perfect transition to the next topic, which I won't get into yet, but I'll just give you a sneak peek that there is a product that does exactly what you're talking about, and it is very cheap. So I'll talk about it more in the next session.
We still have another 30 minutes, though, right? Okay. Any other comments? I want to bring up slide 25.
And I'm sorry, I don't have these numbers. What is that?
Overall satisfaction with public safety services, Columbia versus Kansas, Missouri versus U.S. You know, we've had an interesting couple of years on focus on police protection. It's clear from the survey that this is one of the two primary concerns, one of the two top primary concerns of the citizens. And we see that satisfaction is slightly below Missouri, Kansas, slightly below national average. You know, we've had a lot of focus on that. We've had an unfortunate YouTube video of a SWAT raid, which put a lot of unfortunate focus on police protection, a policy that's been remedied. We had elections where concern about public safety and perception about public safety were on the table. So we've had a contentious issue over downtown surveillance cameras. We had a contentious issue over license plate scanners. So we've thrown a lot of this right in front of the public. I don't know if that influences this or not. I mean, you mentioned crime statistics. We certainly can't blame the police for crime. We can blame literacy. We can blame poverty. We can blame, right, you know, the war on drugs, drug addiction. There are a lot of things we can blame for crime. Yet, if you look at crime statistics, you can draw really a couple of conclusions from the FBI Uniform Crime Report. Number one, we're about in the same ballpark as Topeka, Kansas, Des Moines, Iowa. You know, we're not anywhere near like an urban area. We're substantially better off than Springfield, Missouri. We're better off than in Gainesville, Florida. So it's you know, we're not St. Louis or Kansas City. We're not Paterson, New Jersey. But the other thing, conclusion you can draw is that we were up about 5% last month, last year, first 6 months of 2010 versus 2009. Nationally, violent crime is declining, you know, a fair amount, and we're stable here. We're not matching that decline. And so I think as we focus on safety, we can say, yeah, you know, this is a pretty safe community, but any crime is too much. What can we do to get our numbers on a downward trajectory like we're seeing nationally? And but I think the way we debate this and the attention we give it, the message we give out there, gives the impression of, you know, how safe Columbia is. And I'll give you a couple of anecdotes. I was at a breakfast for mayors from mid-Missouri, and two mayors spontaneously asked me after pleasantries, what about your crime problem in Columbia? Now, these are small towns who are watching our local media. So if there is a violent crime, this town of 2,000, it's on. That's what they're seeing at 6 o'clock, and they don't have that in their town. So we have this perception that is that we have to deal with. I don't think it's fair, but that perception, in my opinion, is one of the reasons when you look at that graph that people look at police protection. So I think we need to address this by looking at the numbers. I think the police department needs to look at how they're, you know, how they can message this. Obviously, they don't have anything to do with literacy. They don't have anything to do with poverty. So we're putting them in this mix without them having a great deal of control over it. But I think messaging is important here. You know, if it is our interest in portraying Columbia as the safe city that it is, we do need to be able to back that up with data which shows that violent crime is declining, as it is nationally.
And what I made two comments when we came to that chart. One is that, is this a justifiable decline based on your crime statistics? It may or may not be. If it isn't, indeed, every response on the survey is resident perception. You know the facts, the police department knows the facts, but resident perception drives a great deal, and it is how people respond on the survey. All of the instances that you mentioned can indeed affect their overall thought about safety in the city. So that may change dramatically by the next time we do the survey for you. It may be considerably different.
And I think there are two events that affect perception. We had two high-profile crimes. One was 10 years ago. It's still on the front page of the paper. And then we had the incident in the garage, which was high profile because of its randomness. It just takes a couple of those to monopolize the media for week after week to create the perception. That's what the police department has to work against. And that's what the city has to work against.
And that's why communication about the good things that are happening with public safety are important to stress in your communications with the residents, to let them know what's going on that's positive there.
I think actually, you know, not to take anything away from the police department at all, it's actually fairly remarkable given what they've been through the past year and a half to 2 years that the number is as similar to other communities as it is. I mean, I think that shows that they're making efforts to overcome some of those things that you'd mentioned by virtue of, you know, increased emphasis on customer service and some of the things that I know the chief has put into place over the past couple of months. So I think they're working toward the right direction.
Well, I think it should be our goal that blue bar exceeds the red bar the next time we do this survey. We do everything we can, because I think that helps the community in general. It's not just about the police department. It's about a perception we have of ourselves and the perception outsiders have of us. So I think it should be a priority that we move those numbers.
And in the very beginning of our doing the Direction Finder survey, the benchmarks became very evident as to their importance, because maintenance, as an example, a general example, maintenance will always rate lower than public safety services in satisfaction. They always will. But until you can compare with other communities, you don't really know what that number means until you compare it with other communities. So this is your chance to do that.
I have a question. The crime prevention is higher than other communities. So what is the interaction between the crime prevention and local police protection? I mean, it looks like the public is interested and happy that we're doing crime prevention, perceives that we're doing it. So one thought I have is we should continue to do that, and continuing to do that will hopefully lower the dissatisfaction on the local police protection. They seem to be interconnected.
And really, based on the additional information that I just got, I would say that probably this number will change. But it is important to make sure it is that negative publicity and not something else that's affecting this number here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't notice that till Ms. Hoppe pointed that out, but what is the difference between police protection and crime prevention?
Crime prevention, crime is a broader issue. It's the bigger crime kinds of issues that are going to make the news. Personal police protection is if something is going on in your community, I as a household, how safe do I feel as a household based on what's going on in my community? So it's, and again, it is measured against other communities. It's your trend against your last survey, so.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but I'll look at the survey and ask you after the break.
Let me say, the mayor and I have talked about this issue previously. I have asked the chief to have his staff really dive into the data that we have. I have just received that yesterday, that work. It is really exceptionally good work, great analysis, great research. I tend to share that with the council. I felt like emailing it to you at midnight would not have been appreciated. So there is some of the information you're asking for, Mayor, that you're talking about. It's not complete. We still have some research to do. Benchmarking is difficult. You know, you have to call the cities you want to talk to and get the appropriate person and wait for them to get to you. It's not their highest priority to get you that information. So we're doing that work, and we have some of it. And what it says is this is a very safe city. It's a very safe city. And our percentages can vary wildly when you have one negative or three negative events. One more is a 33% increase, right? Whereas nationwide, one more doesn't even register. So there are things in the report that I think are very excellent. There are things we need to focus on. And so with that, you don't have it, you haven't seen it. I'm going to get that to you, but it seemed not an opportune moment last night.
I'd also like to add something in terms of perception. I think we also need to keep in mind, and I don't mean to overstate it, but we had a couple of city council races going on during the time that these surveys were done, I believe. And some of the candidates were running on public safety issues. And I think sometimes when that happens, there is, if you're going to run on a public safety platform, I think sometimes some issues are created that may not be statistically accurate. So I'm just saying that I think that adds to it. So I am all for, looking at our statistics and doing a better PR job so people realize that this is, in fact, a safe city.
That's true. And I will point out that public safety is a platform that elections will be run on
exactly.
In perpetuity. Marianne McCollum told me that when she ran for mayor, she ran on a public safety platform. I want to go back again to slide 13, which is the satisfaction of city services, and I want to get back to the city street deal too, which, I mean, it's such a striking slide. And I mentioned it would be nice to have a metric to know how much we're spending. You know, it would also be nice if we have a metric to know what the reality is. I mean, there's no service. I mean, if I have one pothole in front of my house, I'm unhappy with the whole city. If I have no potholes and I have a short and I'm riding my bicycle and I don't really care, I just wish there was a metric which would grade the streets, an objective third-party person come in and say, your street score is 82. You know, I mean, this is really so perception-driven that once you bring it up into the public consciousness, well, like the snow. I mean, nothing made us focus on the streets more than this historic snow. John.
We have that, Mayor. It's called the PASER rating, and we do that internally. So we look at those, and as we program them for maintenance, we always are upgrading and looking at them, and we do have that.
Well, I think it'd be, I think the citizens would like to know how we stand. If they, we are being rated really fairly low on maintenance of our streets, and that is the perception. If that is not an accurate perception, we have a communication issue. But if it's accurate, then that reinforces our need to focus on this.
And some of it is our utilities are in the streets. And so when you have to work on the utilities, you have the streets tore up, and you have to go back numerous times to make them fixed to where they're acceptable again. Sometimes when you put a pipe in, it settles, you know, a month later, and we have to go back and patch it. Well, people don't understand what's happening. But it has to do with we have utilities in our streets.
Well, I think we need to know why this dissatisfaction number is so high. We need to know that. We need to know if the reasons are valid. And what specific is contributing to that? I mean, is it potholes? Is it that we're disrupting traffic with utility work? Is it that we've not maintained new roads that we're creating congestion? There are a lot of reasons people can be unhappy with the streets, but it would be nice for us to be able to define what is the greatest source of that unhappiness, because it's pretty striking.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'll underscore, that's really the value of these surveys. They point out areas we need to take a deeper look into. Clearly, this is one.
And just a couple of comments on that particular issue. This, any one bar on this graph totals 100%. So you're really looking at 6 out of 10 people who are dissatisfied with your streets. It's a very big number. So. And what, something else I'll mention, and we talked about this in our earlier discussions, is that once something major like streets gets repaired, gets resolved, that can affect other satisfaction issues. It's called a halo effect. It's a happiness with something that's been a problem for a long time. It gets fixed, and it does affect some other issues.
I'm married. I'm familiar with that.
One other comment too. You do have in your area some streets that are related to MoDOT, not to you. And MoDOT is also a client of ours. They understand the statistics piece, and you know, certainly would encourage you to share some of that with them when it addresses their responsibility.
I think that's a very good point, because I think most of us get very confused about what you are responsible for and what MoDOT is, and we know about the financial problems MoDOT has. And then we have the federal government, you know, we have the interstates going through our town too, and we all know the stress that states and the federal government are going through financially. And if they're unable to repair their roads, people still may take it out on public works. But if that's the case, we need to be able to identify that and articulate what we're doing and show that we are really engaged.
I'm curious, what, ma'am, what's your experience with how your survey results can be converted to a forecasted success rate with asking for support to change that? For instance, if we went to the voters and said, we want to do a bond issuance to do so
right.
forth. I mean, how does that?
And we rarely are preparing surveys these days without some kind of funding question somewhere. And so, yes, indeed, it would be a good idea to tie this information to the possibility of funding for the near future. We can certainly help you do that. We do surveys all the time that address those kinds of issues and the potential sources of different funding for those issues. Based on this information, I think that most residents understand that something has to be spent in order for something to be fixed, and giving them some reasonable options to address, to approve for you, is a very good idea.
Well, I think it's interesting, going back to 2006, when there was a proposal, I believe, to increase the capital improvement tax by 0.8%, then it got 38% of the vote. So the citizens are demanding that we increase the infrastructure. If we go to them and say we can do that for this amount of money, you know, we have to be able to defend that. So they sort of work against each other. There are two different messages there.
Well, you have to defend it based on what they've said here on the survey, if it's related to streets. The other thing you have to let them know is how it will impact them individually. what an increase, how it will impact them individually, if it's property taxes, if it's sales taxes, if it's a bond issue, how it's likely to affect them. That's generally a piece that we put on our funding question so that, you know, it's not an open-ended issue as to how it really will affect a household.
There are two issues, the maintenance of our existing infrastructure and expanding infrastructure. I mean, it's tricky.
They may be viewed in the same construct with the poll question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Mr. Glasscock knows the difference between that, but if I'm dissatisfied, there are a lot of reasons I may be dissatisfied. It may be with the snow, it may be with the pothole, or it may be with a weight I have getting to my place of work. So there is a crossover between all three of those.
And there's a connection between the two. As we expand our streets, we have to build in more funds or have to have more funds for maintenance. And if we don't, then we result in this situation that people are dissatisfied with the maintenance because we haven't planned for it or provided for it.
And we have a $10 million pie from the transportation tax, where we fund losses in the transit, we fund losses in the airport, and with what's left over, we repair roads, right? At some level. So slicing that pie, you know, affects all three.
Were there any questions asked about air service?
I don't believe so.
We asked if people use the airport, and we got a percentage response on that.
You know what that percent was?
I want to say 47%, but I'd have to go back and look.
There's an excellent point there. This is a presentation of a much larger report, and so these are the big stories. And so the report is, I forget how many pages, it's sort of in final draft stage.
It's now in final draft stage. You have that accessible to you, and I would encourage you to keep reading it because there are a lot of interesting thoughts in there. It's a snapshot, obviously, of the community at a certain point of time. There are some questions relating to stormwater. What's your perception of the problem? What percentage of respondents would consider paying higher rates to fund a utility? I think there are a lot of persuadables in there, but there is some support for that. There also was a question about willingness to support social services with tax dollars. There are about five or six categories there.
Now,
you said it's accessible. I don't see it here in the CD. Is it not?
I'd be happy to help
yet?
You find that after the retreat or after
very
this
helpful
session.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to receive a link?
Yes. Oh, yes.
That would be
sure.
Great if we could.
Though it's on the city website for everyone
yes,
to
it
see.
Yes, it is right now.
Okay.
If I could offer a couple more thoughts. These are the stories in 834 households. What's interesting are all the stories below those. And I think it would do us well where you think you have priority concerns to ask more questions about those particular thoughts on dissatisfaction. Why are you dissatisfied? Why isn't this useful? And so on. We also are involved in some point of service surveys with customers at the Department of Health, police, and neighborhood services. So we are starting to get some deeper information on what those particular customers think. Also interesting to compare these results to the results in other surveys that have been conducted in the community to verify what the truth is.
I think that's great.
I have one more question point. I recall that the citizens were satisfaction was down regarding the city cable channel information. And I had heard from citizens that they don't get access to it maybe because of the Mediacom, or can you talk about that?
City channel is a cable channel available if you have Charter, CenturyLink, or Mediacom. If you don't subscribe to any of those services, or if you have satellite or DirecTV, you're not going to get the city channel.
And do we provide an internet connection for that?
We do. There's online streaming live for council meetings. We archive our video programming segments. Not everything is available streaming or archived.
That's shown on the city channel, like the special programs, not...
Right. Yes. But same token, I would want to know, if you're getting the city channel, what is it that you don't find useful? What would you find more useful? I think those are additional questions we should ask.
It may just be that they can't get it anymore, too.
That's possible. Right.
Any other questions? It's been a very nice presentation. I appreciate it. And been very helpful.
I would make one final comment. If you do have citizens who get this information, they will appreciate the fact that it takes a great deal of courage for a body like yours to do a survey. It's nothing you can control. It's entirely up to them as to how it's answered. So it is a very democratic way of finding out from your residents how you feel about the services you provide.
And I think we're committed to move some of those bars, too. I think that's one of the most useful things about this survey, is it shows us what we need to change. Any other questions or comments? We'll start our recess and reconvene at...
Reconvene at 10:15.
10:15. Thank you. 15. Thank you.